إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a standard. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ زُهْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the one who has been saved from the hellfire and has been entered into Jannah, فَقَدْ فَازْ, only that person is successful. Only that person is successful. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And the life of this world is nothing but deception. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ بَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, save yourselves and your offspring, أَهْلِيكُمْ, your families, from the fire, the fuel of which is men and stones. I remind myself in you, in Six Sigma quality standard, the theory of Six Sigma is based on the assumption that you can't measure the extent of goodness of something. What you can measure is mistakes. For example, if you say I went to Awid Bhai's house and he met me very warmly, and then I say I went to Babbi's house and he also met me very warmly, now which warmth is bigger, who met me more warmly? How can you define that? Right, this is not definable. What I can say is that when I went to Ayodhya's house, he hugged me. When I went to Babi's house, he came down the stairs and hugged me. So now there is a specific thing which has been done. Now if you convert this into a service responder, if you convert this into a service measurement parameter, and you say, supposing you are running a hotel, and if you say that every customer who comes must be met by the general manager of the hotel at the bottom of the stairs, this is your standard. So this is measurable. You know, every single customer, whether he was met by the general manager of the hotel at the bottom of the stairs, I'm not saying this, you should do this, I'm saying this is a measurable thing which can be measured. And if there is a service failure, you can say, okay, out of 10 customers, 9 were met, 1 was not met. Then you can go and check that thing and say, why did you not meet so and so, you know, whatever the thing was. So Six Sigma is based on this. Six Sigma is based on the number of mistakes that you commit. And the standard is, I usually give this example. If I tell you that I am running an operation which is 99% successful, 99% successful, measurable, I can prove to you it's 99% successful, then would you say this is a good operation or a bad operation? Yeah, obviously good operation, 99% successful, good. You might even say, you know, nobody can be 100% successful, so 99% success, alhamdulillah, it's a good operation. 99% is 10,000 mistakes per million, 10 lakhs. 99% is 10,000 mistakes per million. Six Sigma is 3.4 mistakes per million. That is the difference in magnitude as far as measurement is concerned. So, when we look at this, we are saying we measure the failures. Now, if you look at the ayat which I recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying, oh, you who believe, make sure your family, you and your family go into Jannah. Allah is not saying this. Allah is not saying only the person who has been, Allah did say only the person who has entered into Jannah, but before that He said who has been delivered from the fire. The same thing could have been said the other way around. Anyone who has entered into Jannah and delivered from the fire. No, Allah said fire first. Because again the same thing, which is that how do I know I am doing right? By checking if I am doing wrong. How do I know that I am obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By checking how many disobediences of Allah do I do on a daily basis. So if that disobedience count is zero, then inshallah I am obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, my obedience, what is the level of ikhlas of this obedience, how sincerely is it done, how close to the to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is it, does Allah like it, not like it, all of these are different things. For example, did I pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid? Yes. What was the quality of my salah is a different issue. And inshallah al-Musta'an, as long as I am praying the salah in the masjid, or where the masjid is not accessible, I am praying the salah in my home or wherever. But I am not missing a salah, alhamdulillah, I am praying my salah in time. Then, as far as the quality of the salah is concerned, obviously we are weak, we have all kinds of issues. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and His forgiveness, inshallah. And we have the full faith, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. And He will accept this prayer of ours, which is by definition faulty. So no problem. But if I am not praying at all, then what? So I miss my salah. I didn't pray at all. Where is the question of good or bad? I mean, you good or bad arises if you first pray. But if you are not praying at all, where is the question of good or bad? So now what do I do? So I must correct that thing first. I must say, no, I have to pray. Khalas. I mean, there's no, compromise in that. I have to pray my salah. And where the masjid is accessible, I must go to the masjid and pray, because this is fard on me. It's not only praying, it is praying in the masjid. That is what is fard. So therefore, if I am living in a place which is far away from the masjid or something, like in America and so on, winters, snowstorms, whatnot, nobody says put your life at stake to go. No, you pray at home, inshallah, no problem. But the point is that where there is a possibility of praying in the masjid, you must do that. So if I am doing that, now this is measurable, absolutely clearly measurable. You can make a framework and say, today 5 salah, how many did I pray? How many did I pray in the masjid? So it's very, very simple to do that. Similarly, how much Quran did I read? How did I treat people? Did I treat them respectfully, disrespectfully? Whatever. So if we look at the number of mistakes that we make on a daily basis, then we can be sure that inshallah our life is going towards some level of correction and inshallah perfection at some point in time. And that is where this whole issue of save yourself from the fire comes. If we save ourselves from sins, automatically it means that our life is improving. In business consulting also, when we look at making organizations more profitable, there is a trade-off between, say for example, increasing sales on the one hand, and on the other hand, doing what I call making an organization unholy. I tell people, you have got a very holy organization, full of holes. You know this, there is money leaking from everywhere, right? So somebody is stealing, somebody is doing something, your operation is so inefficient that you are wasting money, duplication of roles, all kinds of stuff. So it's a holy organization, they make it unholy, plug all the holes. So every single time, if you look at the organization from that perspective, you will find that the profitability will increase just by doing that, even without selling one single unit more. The same sales, your profitability will increase, your margins will be better if you have plugged all the holes and made the organization unholy. I remember one particular client of mine where I discovered my rough estimate, rough meaning it was an educated estimate based on numbers but not exact, was that this was an organization making losses, that in their inventory alone they had over 150 crores of dead stock. Over 150 crores of dead stock. Dead stock meaning that stock is not saleable, it's not, you just have to take it and throw it in the garbage somewhere. And a lot of that stock also consisted of chemicals which could not be thrown away. So denaturing that, that's the technical term, denaturing that actually costs money. So you can't just take the chemical and dump it somewhere. You have to go put it through a process where it is now it is now fit for dumping, right? Otherwise it poisons the environment and so on. So you end up now with stock, you paid for something, And now you end up with something which you are paying to have it destroyed. I mean, what kind of sense does it make? But this is what happens in businesses, you know, the big businesses and so on. So the point is that if you pick the mistakes, and I'm not talking about pick mistakes somebody else, ourselves, look at ourselves and say in my day, you know, actually sit down, keep a track, keep a note or something, and track yourself throughout the day and say, today how many mistakes did I make? How many things did I do today which are capable of angering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many things did I do today which go against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The beauty of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I have said again and again and again. Yesterday somebody asked me, Fajr reminders, are they ever repeated? And I said, Alhamdulillah, as far as I know, we never repeat anything. Everything is new. Except one thing which I repeat again and again and again, which is the importance of the sunnah. I mean, this is something I have said a million times and I will say it a million times again. Because that is the guarantee that your action is correct. So to come back to a Six Sigma standard, you know, the template on which you measure the thing, to say this is foolproof, is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because if you do something the way Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it, then you are absolutely sure that this pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it. Allah said that whatever my Nabi does is an example for you, meaning that the life of the Nabi is a template, is a standard on which we measure ourselves. And as long as we are within that framework, inshallah, we are good. Second thing is that whatever is done according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with that niyyah, inshallah, becomes an act of ibadah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us for it. So not only are we sure that this action was good, but we also get a reward for this action. Now, what more can somebody ask? So therefore, if we are looking at this and say, well, make a framework, make a template and say, your time log kind of thing, and say, today, how many, look at the mistakes. This is not being negative or anything. This is measurement. And I have given you a scientific principle for it. So measure it and say, how many mistakes did I make today? How many things did I do which are against the sunnah, which anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then change that. It's not difficult. It's a very easy thing to do, because we know what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. We know what he used to do in every single case. And where we don't know, ask. Somebody will be there to tell you. So ask whoever is concerned and say, in this case, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do something like this? And ensure that whatever you and I do, let us ensure that we do it according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody else matters. It's not the opinion or the liking or approval of anyone else which has anything to do with this. Because at the end of the day, when we go into our qubur, we are going to go alone. The standard on which we are going to be judged is not the standard of anyone other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we pass that, inshallah, Mustan, we are home and dry. And if we don't pass that, then we are stuck. And we are stuck at a time when there will be nobody to unstick us. There is nobody there to help us to get out. So it is very, very important for us to take stock of this and to take warning from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said and say and ensure that we save ourselves and our families. By families is also meant whoever is under your influence, meaning servants and this and that. If you have Muslim servants, make sure they go and pray on time. Like Ramadan is coming, let us make sure that we don't overload the servants so much in making bhajiyas and samosas for us for iftar that they have no time to pray. All of this happens very commonly in our homes. When the servants also don't care, we also don't care, it's very, very bad. So let us make sure we don't do that. And as I even tell people, I said, as far as possible, especially in the house, employ Muslims as servants. To the extent I say that if you are dying, at least he will remind you to recite the kalima. He will not teach you the Gayatri mantra or something. So very make sure that you do that. But when they are there, make sure that you give them time to pray and so on and so forth, you know, and not take them off somewhere at the time of salah. This is part of our responsibility. They are part of your household. And therefore, they must be taken care of in every way by, you know, feeding, clothing and so on. Alhamdulillah, we do all that. But this prayer is far more important than all of that. So make sure that their salah is valid and their, you know, tahara and they are able to do these things at the right time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to open our eyes to our actions and to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and to save us from that which does not please Him, and to have our lives according to the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.